I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Let us pray. We thank thee, Lord, for the wonderful promises revealed in thy word. We pray that we'll apply them to our hearts for our comfort and thy glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All through the Bible we find this promise that the elect, God's believers, are given the gift of eternal life. They will live forever. We find this in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. That beloved Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Or that beloved John 3:16, God sent his Son to secure the salvation of believers so that they would never perish but have everlasting life. In the previous chapter we saw last week, Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, and the result is, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. In our text today, we have the same promise, and with it, an illustration of this promise by Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead after 4 days in the grave. The simplicity of this promise is what gives it such remarkable force. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I don't have any idea how many funerals I've conducted in the last 40 years, but it's been a lot. I don't think I've ever done one in which I did not include this text. He that believes in Jesus will never die. Now let's begin with verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Well, Bethany is a little village on Mount Olive, 2 miles from Jerusalem in Judea. But Jesus and his disciples are a long way from there. They've left Judea because the Jews tried to kill him when he was there. And so they send a message to Jesus. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. It's an important lesson in that. You know, just because a person is sick doesn't mean God's angry with them. Job's counselors should have had this text. He whom thou lovest is sick. Sometimes sickness is a punishment from God. But it's a great mistake to think that it always is. We teach our children to sing, Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill. From his shining throne on high comes to watch me where I lie. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Jesus didn't rush to Lazarus' bedside, but he stayed right where he was. He was going to make sure that Lazarus had been dead 4 days before he raised him from the dead. Now to Mary and Martha, this must have looked like the prayer wasn't answered. But you know, there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. Sometimes the answer is no. That's an answer. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is not yet. In this case, the answer is not yet. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? After the 2 days of waiting, Jesus says, let us go into Judea again, meaning to Bethany of Judea. And the disciples are frightened. And he barely escaped his life recently. And that's why they left Judea. You really want to go back there? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Jesus takes an example from everyday life. In those days, of course, there was no artificial light at night except for candles or small oil lamps. And so they depended on daylight for working. And walking in the dark can be dangerous, as you probably have experienced. I remember once I got up at 4 a.m. to go fishing, and I didn't turn the light on because Vicky was asleep, and I hit my little toe on a piece of furniture. I think I broke it, but it didn't stop me from fishing. But it wasn't a lot of fun. So Jesus is saying, you have the time God's given you that you can work, and it's limited. 12 hours is the daylight of your life on earth. Every day it's fewer hours. Every day it's fewer you have left to work. And Jesus said, you know, his 12 hours is almost up. In a few months he'll be crucified. So he says, I have to work while I have the light. In other words, while I'm still alive in this body. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Albeit Jesus spake of his death, that they thought, but they thought he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. The soul of Lazarus is in heaven, but his body is in the grave. Jesus said he's sleeping. The disciples take that as, well, that's a good sign. If somebody is sick and he's sleeping, that means he's probably getting better, so we don't have to go to Judea after all. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Jesus explains that Lazarus' body is dead, but he's glad he wasn't there to heal him, because their faith in his power over death will be greatly increased when they witness this coming miracle. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. This is doubting Thomas. He didn't believe Christ had risen from the dead, even though 11 disciples had seen him alive and spoken with him. He said, I won't believe unless I see him and touch him. Well, Christ granted him that favor. Here I am, Thomas, touch me. And then the most doubting of all disciples then made the most powerful of all confessions, my Lord and my God. Well, Thomas says, we might as well go and just die with Lazarus, because we'll get killed in Jerusalem. Thomas did get killed, but it wasn't in Jerusalem. He took the gospel all the way to India, where he started the Christian religion, and he was there martyred. The name Thomas is still popular in India among Indian Christians. Then when Jesus came, he found he had been in the grave 4 days already. As I said, Jesus delayed going to Bethany because he wanted Lazarus to be 4 days dead before he brought him back to life. Jesus has brought two other persons back to life in his earthly ministry. One was the widow of Nain's son, and the other a little 12-year-old girl. But in both cases, they had recently died. So someone could argue, well, maybe they were just in a coma and came out of it. Well, they won't be able to say this about Lazarus because he's been in the dead 4 days and his body is already decomposing. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. It would seem that the house of Lazarus was a rather well-to-do family because people are coming all the way from Jerusalem to comfort the family. And in this culture, this period would last 7 days. They would stay there to comfort the family. And this means that when Jesus raises Lazarus on the fourth day, there'll be a very large number of people from Jerusalem to witness the miracle. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Martha's faith is rather limited. She thinks that Jesus would have to be physically present to heal her brother. Remember the Roman army officer? He said, look, my servant is sick. He asked the Lord to heal him. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house. And he said, you don't need to do that. I'm not worthy you should come under my roof. All you have to do is speak the word. He'll be well. And Jesus marveled, I have not found such faith in Israel. No Jew had that faith of this Gentile army officer. Martha doesn't. She thinks Jesus had to be physically present. And also, she doesn't fully realize who Jesus is. She recognizes him as a man who has a especially close walk with God, so if he prays something, God will hear it. But she doesn't know that Jesus has power in himself to grant life. He doesn't need to pray, ask for it. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. This shows how widespread the belief in the general resurrection was among faithful Jews. He'll rise again on the last day, she believed that, but that may be a long way off, so there's not much comfort in that. But there is in what Jesus now says. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now it's important to connect this text with what went before in chapter 10. We deserve to die under the wrath of God for our sins. Jesus died under the wrath of God for our sins. And that's the only reason he can give you this promise. You won't die in your sins, you'll die in innocency, and you'll not actually die at all, you'll live forever. Eternal life is not something you're going to receive one day when you go to heaven. It's something you have right now. The scripture always speaks of eternal life as a present possession. C.S. Lewis gave an example from his own life. Once he went into a tool shed in the dark on a sunny day. And the only light in the tool shed was from a crack in the wall. There was a narrow beam of light coming through the crack in the wall. He was looking at the beam of light. Then he started looking not at it, but along it. And he realized this ray of light is coming from this tool shed 93 million miles away to the sun. And that's what eternal life is like. From now to forever, Jesus said, you shall never die. Let us pray. We marvel at thy love and thy promises. We pray that we may be strengthened and comforted by them more faithfully to love and serve thee. Amen.